Shall we pray?
Our blessed Father, we want to appreciate you this morning. Thank you for spanning our lives to see another Sunday wherein we commemorate your resurrection. Thank you for keeping us in this path of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you for your cares throughout this past week. Thank you for healing the sick. Thank you for providing for the needy ones. Thank you for the wonderful time of fellowship around your word. Thank you for your protection and guidance, provision of our needs. So many things that we may not be able to recount now, because we know that there are things you have done for us that are yet to come to manifestation. So we want to thank you for those things, Lord. We are grateful. Thank you for especially coming to attend to our needs, Lord, at every junction. Thank you for frustrating Satan's plans and cancer. Thank you for proving yourself to be our God. We are grateful. You are giving us another opportunity to come to your house so that we can learn of you, so that we be able to know better to serve you. We ask, Lord, that you be gracious to us today. Lord, that all that you have planned to give us in blessing according to your promises, we pray that your spirit will give us revelation and understanding, and that you will quicken our faith, Lord, in those promises that we are pleading. Plead for healing, plead for Holy Ghost baptism, plead for provision, plead for attainment of higher ground, more revelation. All these things you have promised, and you are more than able to accomplish in our lives today. We commit ourselves to you, therefore, that you not allow the enemy to cheat us today. You not allow the enemy to deny us of our blessings, that you give us grace to cooperate and surrender ourselves to you. So that, Lord, what you have accomplished, Lord, on the cross of Calvary, Lord, we materialize in our lives. So forth your glory and majesty. Take all the glory and we'll commit the entire services of the day to your hand. We pray for your grace and mercy. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord Jesus, as we wait on you, we pray, Lord, you will touch your people according to their needs, to the glory and honor of your name, that there will be testimonies of Father at the end of the services. Let it be eternal God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. We welcome ourselves to the Sunday school this morning. As we open our Bible, we have some lengthy places to read this morning. First, we'll read from, the book of Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we start reading from verse 44 to 50. Our fathers had the tabernacles of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he has seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God, and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? Let's read Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 1 to 5. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 1 to 5. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance, again made of sins every year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goat would take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You can please sit down while we read 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to use this too. So that we don't come over it, because we still have some other scriptures. To 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1 to 8. All right. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, to the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby hath given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, how to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Praise be to God. We are grateful this morning unto God for sparing our lives. How to be here, because we know that the pastor is down and the associate too. He's trying to recover too. And so while we are praying for them, that the Lord will perfect everything that concerns them. Praise be to God. I want to speak briefly this morning on the thought throne of God. The thought throne of God. Or God's thought throne. And so, because of that, we have read the scriptures that we have read. And they are to lay backgrounds for us for what we have before us. And then we know from this scripture that we have some things. Now, and the prophet taught us here that there are three thrones of God. There are three thrones of God from the teaching of the prophet. We came to recognize those things, and recognizing them is good for us. But our emphasis is going to be on the third throne, the third throne of God. And
In 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, we know what happened to David. He wanted to build a tabernacle for God. He had already told Nathan that I want to do this, I want to do this. But God told him that David was a bloody man, that he is not, he was not qualified to build him a tabernacle. But before this, the prophet gave us an understanding. In Revelation chapter 4, we see what the Bible presents to us as the abode of God. In Isaiah chapter 66, we are given the understanding, and even from where we have read this morning, from Acts chapter 7, which the Bible was referring to the New Testament of God himself telling the children of Israel that heaven is my throne and the heart is my footstool. When Solomon wanted to build him a tabernacle, which was what God promised David, that David was not qualified to build him a tabernacle, that it was going to be his son, which the prophet told us that son means both physical and spiritual son. And that was Solomon in the physical who finally built the temple, physical temple that had been destroyed now, that was initially located where the mosque of Homa is now in Jerusalem. The temple that Solomon built by that time. The materials of the temple was provided sufficiently by David. That temple, that tabernacle, is no longer there. It's been destroyed by the Gentiles. It is the same location that the mosque of Homa is built. But they are going to build their temple in that same location again. And the prophet told us that they are preparing on a red heifer that they are going to use, you know, in the sacrifice. And we are told that it is in that temple that they are going to build that we use in the millennium. Praise be to God. And everything is working towards that. Now in Revelation, the Bible tells us this: to see the first throne of God, which is heaven. After this, I looked in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 4 from verse 1. I looked and behold, that door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And about the throne were 24 seats. And upon this seat I saw 24 elders sitting, in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, and thunderings, and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Praise be to God. The book of Revelation presents to us that the throne of God was in heaven. And God has always seen it. He came down from heaven, and several scriptures, like in 1st Psalm 123, also tells us that 2 Chronicles chapter 6, when Solomon was praying, and Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, because of our time, we know we just want to hit the highlight of it and then come to the third throne of God, which is the most important. And we know that God, being in heaven, all alone in the beginning, had attributes in him, you know, that he wanted to display. The prophet made us to know that God had a program, had a plan, and that plan was to have human beings that will worship him. Worship him. His creation that he will make to worship him. And the prophet said initially it was not God. He was all alone. El Elohim. Self-existing one that existed alone. Nobody existed with him. He was alone in the entire universe. In the entire heavens. Everywhere he was alone. And he existed alone. Nobody created him. That was very difficult for science to believe. We thank God that we have a God like that. That his existence was not determined by any other thing. To think of God's existence, you just have to limit it to what the prophet told us. He existed alone. He has no creator. He has no father nor mother. According to Hebrews chapter 7, he has no beginning of days nor ending of life. He has no beginning. There is no time he started. See, that is not a fable. That is not a cook-up story. Because you can witness to the fact that he has no beginning nor ending in your life. The thing he has done. You cannot pray to an idol and the idol answers like that. Even those who worship Satan and they are deceived by the devil. The prophet in the sermon,
what is the title of the sermon?
Can it something? Christianity versus idolatry, I think. Was it that title?
That's how you just run off my mind.
The prophet said that, you might remember if I made reference. The prophet said there are true witch doctors. That is a true devil. The prophet said those who worship the devil. Yeah, Christianity versus idolatry. I think that's the title.
Yeah.
Christianity versus idolatry. The prophet said, the people that worship idol and the idol speak back to them. That is the devil that is speaking truth to deceive those people and is talking to them truly. But when the people pray to that idol, they don't get what they want.
Are you getting me now?
He puts them in bondage. He does not set them at liberty. He tells them to go and put their feet on fire to get answer to their request. He's the one that asks them to cut their bodies, lacerate their bodies so that blood will come out for him to respond. He tortures and afflicts them. And because they believe it, they have to do what he bid them to do. Jesus Christ said, if the Son of Man shall set you free, ye are free indeed. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Where the devil afflicts people, hold people in bondage, stronghold, keep people under his stronghold. The prophet said he does not release the prisoners. He takes a stronger hand, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which he has done. He's not destroying Satan's kingdom again. He had done it. Because he's not saving anybody today. He's not healing anybody today. He has done it. The prophet said, if you were saved yesterday or filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday, the prophet you just came to recognize it. He said, you have always been saved. The healing is there, potent. Potent. It's just for us to get faith to be able to key into it to get it. The prophet said, if Jesus was standing physically here, and you go and meet him and say, Jesus, please heal me.
He will tell you that I cannot heal you because I've already done it.
I have already done it. That is why on the cross he said, it is finished. Finished.
So all what we as individuals need is to be able to enter into the realm of faith,
to be able to walk with him,
to be able to enjoy what he has suffered for. He suffered, he paid for our healing, he paid for our salvation and all other things, our welfare, from heart to glory. He is our sponsor. He paid for it.
Praise be to God.
So to have that kind of a God that existed all alone and nobody determines his decision,
nobody can say stop, don't do this. Nobody can say you compulsively you must do this. He's sovereign in his decision. I think that is the God that I have. Is that the God that you have? You are very lucky. If that same God is your God that created the heavens and the earth, that said let it be and is it, and when he says let it not be, it can't exist. When he opens, nobody can close. When he closes, nobody can open. Even the devil that people think has power, God regulates his power. He cannot act on his own volition. He has to, God has to give him permission. Okay, you are, it is approved. Go and do it. The case of Job is an example. It was the law set for him as by the affair of Job. He couldn't go beyond that. Even until God opened the door for him to afflict Job, he couldn't touch him. See, let's people who can easily, you know, get confused, get offended when they see the righteous afflicted. If you are that tired, you need God to help you. That was what the friends of Job were accusing Job of. That a righteous man, he cannot suffer like this. So you are a secret sinner. It's because you sin the secret. That's why God is afflicting you like this. Job said, I have not sinned. And at the end of the day, those three friends, God told them that, go to Job, let him pray for you. Or yes. May God be our help.
This is the God, this great God. He's the same that had a plan of redemption. And when he planned that, he executed it himself. Because there is no one righteous like him. No one can meet the demand of his law. And the penalty of his law, no man can meet it. He's the one that made the law. He's the one that put the penalty of anyone who infringes on his law. He's there. And he looked at the penalty, so great. And he cut it and looked at this and said, well, let me just overlook it like that. Because he put Adam and Eve. They were the first couple he had on the face of the earth. When they sinned, nobody was going to arrest him for that. It was a decision. He could remove it from the memory of Satan. If you say, well, Adam and Eve, I overlooked that. It's nothing to me.
The devil will accuse him.
But he had the power to remove it from the memory of Satan. That is, the devil will never remember that anymore. Just like himself, does not remember our sins again. Sins that have been properly, you know, I confess and have come under the blood. Praise be to God. This same God, the prophet told us, is so great that woman cannot perceive him, cannot understand him. So in that realm, he condescended to what the prophet called to a pit fire. That is when human being could have an idea of who he is. And that is where he could talk, that man could easily get to hear him. And that's the realm he was when he spoke to Moses. Praise be to God. Now he condescended to that realm to be able to, you know, and the prophet told us that was the level he was when he created. So we are not dwelling much on that bit because we have a target and I have just a few minutes. So from there, from that level, according to the promises that he had made concerning redemption, concerning perfect atonement, from that pillar of fire, he came into flesh. Praise be to God. Like we were saying last Sunday, Jesus was in God's thought, which was God's attribute. God had a mind to become God. He wants to become Father. He wanted to become Son. He wanted to be manifested as the Holy Spirit, as a healer, as a provider, as every other attribute that human beings have seen him display. He wanted to do that. But he couldn't do that all alone. So he has to condescend to that level of the pillar of fire where he began to. So from that level of pillar of fire, he condescended further into flesh and came as Jesus Christ, which became the second throne of God, as we have read here in Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 10, verse 5. Sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepare me. Because God rejected the offerings of the children of Israel because there was no more sincerity with it. And so, after he condescended into that, he for the purpose of providing perfect blood for atonement of sin. If not for the atonement of sin, that he might atone, give us perfect redemption through that perfect blood, he wouldn't have come in the flesh. But because it is his own plan, that's why the scripture, the son, our son say, he said, the father planned and the savior bled and died. The redemption for a worthless slave to buy, who her law and grace defied. Now, it is the father that planned, it is the father that became the son to execute the plan. As we know it. So he in heaven, the throne is God's, the heaven is God's first throne where he existed. And then he came down to the earth. So Moses, a little of that throne, has David Moses to represent it in a tabernacle, which they were packing as they were going to the wilderness. But that was not a permanent throne of God. He just used that one to represent himself in the midst of the children of Israel. But his target was not that. His target to dwell in man. And he started that by coming into Christ. And Jesus Christ made a way for the third throne of God to be possible. Praise be to God. All right. Here is in the sermon, who is this Melchizedek? The prophet says, God came down and became flesh and died the death, paragraph 44, from 44, and died the dead in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. That is what he made the man at the first for. That's why he created the man. Of course, we know that it's not everyone that is on the face of the earth that God will dwell in. It's only his predestinated one. We know that. That is what he made the man at the first for, was for fellowship. God dwell alone with cherubims. And notice now, he made man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very God means object of worship. Praise be to God. That is it. The very reason why God created you, created me, was for fellowship. And that's why John chapter 4 says that God is a spirit. And anyone who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because these are the kind of worshippers that the Father is looking for. Now from the question and answer preaching 1959, June 28th. In the Garden of Eden, the devil took the man's head. God took his heart. And that is the throne of God. What is the throne of God? Are we together here in the Sunday school? In the Garden of Eden, the devil took the head of man. God took his heart. And that is the throne of God, where God dwells, in the human heart. That's the throne of God. And now if it is, then a man or a woman that is born of God will act like the kingdom they are from. Hallelujah. That will make me shout. Why? Because when you know that you are passed from death unto life, because you hate sin and you love God, and you will stand regardless of if you die or don't die. You will stand, that is, you will stand that it is wrong. And call wrong wrong, walk upright before God. It shows that your spirit, the life that is in you, is from another place. Where is holy and pure and virgin and undefiled. From why Christ speak, preaching 1963, July 14, 1963, why Christ speak, from paragraph 172. But there is only one re-church, and you don't join it. You are born into it. See? And if you are born in it, the living God walks himself through you and making himself known. See? That is where God dwells in his church. And in this church, we don't join this church. By one spirit, we all are baptized. And that church is God's tabernacle. And now we read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Where it's talking about the stature of a perfect man. That is God's tabernacle. That's God's tabernacle. And the prophet said, anyone who has all of this, that is the person in whom God dwells. That's the man that goes in the rapture. Praise be to God. God's intention is not for us to be church members only. We come to the church because there is an atmosphere or where the word of God, pure word of God, goes forth. And the word of God has the power, has the life in it, power of transformation. And that's why we come, we listen to God's word. The word of God walks upon the sons and daughters of God to prepare their heart so that God can dwell in them by his spirit. So constantly coming, and that is why the process of we're going to talk more about that later. The process of salvation begins with repentance, justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism. So the word of God takes us through this. When a man repents and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if the person's heart is right at the point of water baptism, Holy Spirit will fall on that person. The person will be filled with Holy Spirit. That is the promise of God. It happened in the day in the house of Cornelius. Why Peter is speaking? Praise be to God. And the prophet told us that that can still repeat. Even if anybody comes in here and he begins to, for the first time, and he's hearing God's word, and his prick, his heart meets the condition that the heart of those in Cornelius has, the same condition of their heart. If anybody is just coming for the first time ever, hearing the word of God for the first time, and the heart of that person is exactly that the heart of those in Cornelius' house were, exactly what God did, God will do for that person. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we say God is infinite, it means the first decision he took, he will never remain with that decision. So we have to watch ourselves. Because you have to understand that you, God is looking at you to come and dwell inside of you. Because that is where you can truly fellowship with God. That's where you can truly worship God. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not truly worshiping. Because God is a spirit, and those who will worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for these are the kind of worshiper that he's looking for. And these are the ones that have become his temple. You become God's temple when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your heart. Then you become God's throne. And from God's throne, you become a judgment seat of God. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads.
Our Father, we thank you for this portion of your word we have just listened to. Lord, the very purpose why you created we human being and put soul, Lord, in our heart, which you did not give to animals, is so that you might live in us and be able to display your attributes through us. Dear Father, we have heard, Lord, how simple it is for that to be achieved in the life of any of us, especially maybe even those that might hear it for the first time, and those who have been hearing it for a long time. It does not matter. We pray, dear God, that today will be the day of as many as are yearning to experience this. May you bring it to pass that, Lord, when they hear your word today, that they will desire you, and the door of mercy will be open unto them. Let it be the testimony of each one at the end of the services. Thank you for your blessing in this Sunday school. We ask the Holy Spirit to water it and expand it in our hearts. Bless your servant you have used as you commit the rest of the service to your hand that you take the preeminence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.